Hello, and welcome to the Changemakers podcast. I'm Dave Corlett, Business Director at the creative agency Shaped By, and in this series, I chat to leading marketers at what we call Changemaker Brands, businesses on a mission to change the world for the better through technology. What I want to find out is the role that creativity plays in helping them to communicate the benefits of their technology. Hopefully their insights, experience, and stories can help you supercharge your own creativity. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Changemakers podcast. Now, as great as the last few episodes have been, you know, we've talked with Frida from Get Accept about the power of customer personas. We've talked with Ben Bulpit from SalePoint about bridging that gap between sales and marketing. I feel like they've ever so slightly strayed away from the real core essence of what the Changemakers podcast was always meant to be, which is conversations around the role and the power of creativity within B2B technology brands. So I really wanted to get back to that, and over the next few weeks, that's what we'll be focusing on, and wow, how we've managed to do that this time around, because my guest this week is Lee Mincy, the Director of Brand and Creative at Gong. So for those of you who don't know, Gong is a revenue intelligence platform. If you're in B2B marketing, I'm sure you do, because they're absolutely everywhere. They do a fantastic job with their content and their marketing comms in general. But I really wanted to pick Lee's brains about a few things. Their recent rebrand, which Lee joined the company to help deliver. The culture of creativity that seems to exude within everything that Gong do. And I guess where that culture comes from and who drives it. And a whole host of other things relating to just a really, really good example of a brand that values and appreciates and uses creativity to its full potential. So here we go. This is episode 11 of the Changemakers podcast with my fantastic guest, Lee Mincy from Gong. Enjoy. Lee, huge welcome to the Changemakers podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks.
Cool, good stuff. So obviously, there's so much I want to dive into with you today around, around Gong, around your fascinating career, and also around this subject that I could talk about all day, which is creativity in B2B technology marketing, and in B2B marketing in general, I guess. But I think before we start on all of that, it'd be great to give our listeners a bit of an insight into a fascinating career that you've had to date, really. So agency side, client side, I believe co-founding your own agency. Where did it all start for you, and how did it progress to where you are today?
Hey, it's great to be here. So it all started for me, back in art school. It was a buddy of mine who showed me a portfolio. He worked at an agency in San Francisco called Goodby Silverstein & Partners, and the work just blew me away. I just, that's a print ad. Wow, I want to do that. And I remember seeing stuff like Got Milk and Porsche ads that just, like peanut butter to the roof of your mouth, the thing sticks to the road. Really great work, really compelling. And that just got me into it. So I moved up to San Francisco, started working on advertising, cutting my teeth, learning how to think conceptually. And did that for several years, probably 10 years or so, working at various agencies. Freelance and full-time. Loved it. That's more about, creative storytelling and also building your portfolio, building your personal brand, I think, when you're in an agency as a creative person. But eventually you start thinking, I've got this great set of tools, and wouldn't it be fun to contribute to just one company and help them build something great? And I think that's what I got pulled into when I joined tech years ago, a company called Wildfire. They were bought by Google back in 2013 or 14, I believe. But, taking all of these tools that I had amassed around print, digital, video storytelling, and just contributing those to a creative team, building a creative team in a tech environment, I think that became really compelling to me, helping to build something that was great, that was changing the way people were doing whatever they were doing out there, whether it's business or social media or whatever.
And just in terms of moving into those roles, did you have any expectations? I guess, so you've been agency side, and you'd kind of seen how it might play out, you know, but obviously not been immersed in it, you know, full time until you got there. I guess it must have lived up to your expectations if you're still there, but was it as you expected? Was it more challenging?
Well, yeah, it's challenging in a different way. I mean, staying up all night trying to produce some award-winning creative is certainly a challenge when you're in an agency and crafting something that nobody's ever seen or thought of before. It's not so much that when you move to tech. It's really about, building an infrastructure that the company can use to share its messaging, its compelling messaging and visual framework. So sometimes that's a fun video. Sometimes it's a hilarious print ad. But for the most part, it's really about brand tools, a brand framework, consistent looking formatted marketing visuals, consistent brand narrative, a slick but consistent format for creating video stories. The executives in tech companies are really focused on different things from an agency, as you well know. It's more about driving traffic to a website, right? It's about metrics for the most part. So you see a lot of executives in tech, they don't care so much about the storytelling and being emotional and being approachable as a brand. They're just more about looking tech. There was a lot of that for a while in tech, looking like a tech firm. We have to look legit. And now I think that's changing. So yeah, the challenges are different, but the reward is amazing. When you're helping to build something that's growing, literally doubling every year, there's something great about that.
And speaking of executives that want your firm to look or act in a certain way, you're at Gong now, which I believe you joined in late 2020. And as far as I understand it, the executives there don't necessarily think like that. They do value creativity and they do value expression. Is that what attracted you to the role in the first place in terms of joining Gong?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. The CMO there, Udi, he's an idea guy. He's unlike any CMO that I've worked with. Most CMOs, like I said, are really metrics driven, analytical, right brain people, I guess. Or no, it's, what is it? Left brain. Which one is creative?
but, you know what? Yeah, I don't know either, and I should.
I should know this. But Udi is Udi Lettergård, great guy. He's an idea person. He, when you do Zoom conversations with him, he's got a bunch of Sesame Street characters sitting behind him. I mean, he's really into color and creative concept. And I picked up on that immediately when he called me and we started chatting. This guy gets it. He does want to do great creative storytelling that rises above that level of noise that you see every day in tech. And that sameness that you see in tech, he doesn't want to do that. So I immediately got pulled into coming and rebranding Gong and building a creative team and just, loving it. It's been great.
And what was the reason for the rebrand at that point? So I know that you, obviously knowing a bit about your background, I know that you joined and the rebrand took place not long after that. Was that kind of the first thing on the table for you guys? Right, we're going to work as a team and make this thing amazing, but the rebrand is the first thing that we're going to cover off to do that.
Yeah, that was the initial impetus for bringing me in, but also starting to build out a creative team, get off of the agencies and the nothing personal.
None taken.
And the freelancers. And just to try to be more efficient. I think there's that we can talk about that. There's a really interesting way to use creative agencies for what they're great at and then bring some of the production in-house and achieve more efficiencies. But the initial impetus with Udi was to help Gong turn the page to a new chapter of its growth. It was really seeing huge growth, approaching a billion valuation and starting to think about going public and wanting to look like a company that would be here 20 years from now. Now, the existing brand identity was powerful. It was emotional. Lots of purples, lots of pictures of people. Gong likes to not talk about our artificial intelligence and bore you with the technical mumbo jumbo. We like to talk about Howard, the platform enables people, empowers people to be their best. And so, you know, being emotional, being social, being humanistic and memorable was really, you know, the goal, as well as looking like we were going to be here 20 years from now. We were going to look enterprise worthy, so to speak. I think that that's a term that I hear a lot now with executives. It's, oh, we're ready to turn the page. We want to look more enterprise worthy. We need to do a rebrand, but they don't necessarily know how to do it. And so they usually give me a call. That was the impetus for Gong.
And how did it go? What was the process like? I read a piece that you, an interview on, I think it was Brand Fetch, maybe, talking about a few challenges around kind of internal stakeholder buy-in, which always obviously is such a huge challenge as far as those processes go. Obviously, you know, from the outside looking in, it's a fantastic project and we can see it brought to life. You know, I can see what you're trying to do with it. And I think you've definitely succeeded there from you know, with my creative head on. But how was it internally? Was that a real challenge for you guys, taking everyone on the journey?
It wasn't too challenging. You know, I rebranded Optimizely years back and the work was great. I really loved how everything turned out. But that was a political process that was really challenging. And I didn't experience that so much at Gong because people were on board and they liked the direction that we were going. So it's super important to not democratize the whole process. You know, you can't include anybody. You got to form a core team of maybe 4 to 5 people that make all the decisions, that see all of the creative presentations from your agency, and that slowly you socialize it throughout the company. But you've got to limit the number of people that make big decisions on the work. And that can help a lot, I've learned. There was one founder in particular at Optimizely who, you know, I was trying to catch him on video saying, what do you think of the work? What do you think of the process? Did you like it? Are you happy with the new brand? And he looked at the camera and he said, I don't really understand why we went through a rebranding at all. So, you know, people get, especially founders, they get stuck on the history of the company. They get emotional about it and they don't realize that you've got to look more sophisticated. You know, one of the presentations I like to give is the evolution of logos in tech. They always start out very literal, like literal drawings of Titus holding up the sky or a rocket ship going up to the right or whatever. And these are drawings from founders, engineers often. And they try to explain a whole mission statement right in the logo. And if you look at Zendesk or Atlassian or Optimizely, you know, they always move over time towards a more abstract, confident, and beautifully crafted, proportioned logo. Over time, it's not about trying to tell a story. That's for your tactical marketing to do. The logo should just be itself. So yeah, the process has been pretty straightforward at Gong. You know, we've just broken everything up into very specific steps and done presentations and made decisions as a small team and gotten to where I think we need to be. So we have the beginnings of a really great brand and we're continually evolving it every day with my inner team.
And so you've obviously talked about Udi and his approach to creativity being such a positive one. Is that the case for the executives at the very top, the founders, the CEO, and the C-suite, I guess, the leadership team?
Yeah, the executive team is, they let us do our job. They know that we're good at it and that Udi has a really good sense for marketing and for branding. So while, you know, the CEO, Amit, was always keeping up with presentations and the journey itself, the creative journey, he let our core team really make the big decisions. And we recommended ways to continue the evolution of the brand. And he was pretty cool about that.
Nice. And the Super Bowl ad, I loved it. You guys ran a Super Bowl ad this year. Really, really, really entertaining, really funny. Is that something that you were involved in directly? And how was it?
Yeah, that was... So last year we did a Super Bowl ad that was much smaller budget. And it was more of a typical ad where you have a guy walking around office talking about the benefits and features of the platform. and how, what it can do to your business to help your business along. And it was pretty successful in getting the word out there about what Gong offered. This year we decided, you know, we're talking to a Super Bowl crowd that is really focused on the game and entertainment and their bag of chips and a beer. Let's not bug them with too much detail this time. Let's just get the word out about Gong and what Gong is. And used an agency called Barrett SF, Jamie Barrett's team, a really talented group. And they showed us several approaches, but this one was just so simple. It reminded me, you know, the simple ideas are always the best in advertising. And it was just about, you know, a guy walking around at the office. You know, they bought gongs for all of the salespeople to celebrate their successes. And as he tried to explain why they were successful, the gongs are drowning out his voice. It was hilarious, and it got across the simple visual of a gong, and gong equals winning in sales and business. So I was super happy with that. You know, that's a win right there for me. And we did some testing across the country that showed that, you know, we were up there with Coinbase in terms of memorability, in terms of unaided awareness of the brand because of that very symbolic messaging.
So you must have been pretty pleased on the night to see it there on the big screen at the game itself, right?
That was fun, yeah. I mean, it was a fun spot. It made me laugh, and it was a lot of fun to produce. Of course, we all got COVID down in Los Angeles on the shoot.
Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, looking back, it was a great opportunity for me to do some fun storytelling and help the company, help the brand a little bit.
And just touching on, so you don't see that many, with the greatest respect, brands like Gong looking to humor as a way to drive engagement and brand fame, if you like, even if we can go that far. Do you think that we're starting to see that now? Do you think that we're starting to see B2B or kind of enterprise tech firms being a bit more open to differentiating themselves in almost like a kind of B2C approach in terms of that more emotive approach to brand expression, in particular, like you guys, using humor to drive that, which is such a staple of B2C marketing?
I think so. You know, we're seeing more and more, you know, the Super Bowl ads we saw this year were a sort of a gratuitous use of celebrities in their spots instead of great storytelling. But still, that's an attempt to tell a story and to rise above the noise level and to be seen and heard. You know, I still think it's fairly rare because of the nature of tech. You know, companies are being measured by their financial backers and, you know, how are you spending the money and is it driving traffic to the site and driving, you know, sales leads? And I think you have to look away from those metrics a little bit when you do a Super Bowl spot, because really you don't want to overwhelm the audience. They will just turn you off. You want to entertain them. And usually that means low detail and just something simple and memorable and funny, ideally. So we're seeing more of this. You know, there's an article by a guy that I think is great. Paul Hirsch runs an agency here in town. And, you know, he talks about it continually. B2B doesn't have to be boring. It can be fun. And you know, talking to business people, they're people too. They watch Saturday Night Live and love good jokes. And, you know, you can get their attention with some funny stuff, some humor, and good storytelling, and then maybe sneak in some of the benefits, the value prop of your platform, your product. So I think we're seeing more of it. Would be fun to see even more.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think, but I mean, I guess, you know, you look at brands like Salesforce, and even in terms of storytelling, you know, they've got your Matthew McConaughey, you know, in the spot itself, but the storytelling element is still really strong there in terms of the way that they differentiate themselves. But I guess I'm not also just talking about, you know, big plays like Super Bowl ads. I think if you're looking at your kind of, I guess, your YouTube pre-roll ads or your explainer animations or your kind of everyday, what you might class as slightly more everyday content, you know, I would love to see, and I'm sure you're the same, I would love to see more B2B tech brands just using that little tweak, that little play of emotion, whether it's humor or whether it's something different, but just using that as the hook to kind of get people in. At the moment, it still seems very rational, very functional, you know, very focused on, you know, trying to turn you from out of market to in market, rather than saying, look, you're probably out of market now, but you're going to remember us. But yeah, are you seeing more of that, do you think? Or is it still a long way to go?
I think I'm seeing attempts on social media, and we use social media. That's probably our main channel, really, is, you know, using LinkedIn to try to be provocative, to try to be funny, to try to push content that helps our customers and our prospects understand the value of, you know, tons of people are still out there using just spreadsheets to forecast their sales pipe, and you know, avoiding the going digital entirely, avoiding use of artificial intelligence. It's amazing. And using a platform like LinkedIn can get directly to these people, and you can catch their eye with something witty and funny and unexpected, and then bring them to a landing page and sort of close the deal there, or at least get them to read about what you're offering. So I think we're seeing more and more of that. It's certainly working well for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think the guy that I follow a lot on LinkedIn is your head of content, Devon. He's so good.
Yeah, Devon's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a natural. Great voice.
Yeah, he really is. Do you have much an involvement in that from a brand point of view, in terms of LinkedIn, how to behave, think, and act on LinkedIn from a brand point of view?
That's mostly Devon's domain. He's got a team that is constantly cranking out. And my team, of course, builds the material. We write a little bit, but, you know, only a little. It's really Devon's voice and sense of humor. I remember him talking about, I think, the concept of happy ears, which is when sales members get off a phone with a prospect and they're all amped up about one small thing that they heard on the call. And so they type that into their Salesforce, their CRM, as a happy ears note, like a rosy note that, oh, we're going to close this. It's going to be a slam dunk. When in fact, they didn't hear 90% of what was being said. And so.
Actually, that's a good point. So I do apologize. We've completely skipped over this. For those of you, and I hope there's not too many, who are uninitiated, could you just give us a quick rundown of exactly what Gong is and what Gong does? I mean, I feel like I've got a pretty good sense in it, but some of our listeners may not.
Yeah, Gong is a technology platform for sales and for go-to-market folks, customer-facing teams. We offer a platform that records all interactions with customers, prospects, across, you know, phone calls, Zoom calls, Slack, emails, all channels. And artificial intelligence understands, processes that information, and then logs it as data that is entirely searchable and trackable. And then we add a layer that acts like a guide and tells you what you need to do. It understands what's going on. If one of your customers brought up, hey, there's a new product by a competitor, we're looking at that too, then the artificial intelligence nudges you to address that with a specific battle card or script or whatever. It's just brilliant. And, you know, we're seeing massive growth, and teams are thanking us and really love using the platform. So that's what it does. But, you know, of course, I love that. But I love the fact that I can explain it in a sentence or two as well, whereas in past companies, business intelligence, for example, a company I worked 4 years ago, I couldn't explain in one simple sentence what the company did, and that always made marketing difficult. So yeah, I think Gong's great.
And from a visual identity point of view, it's obviously easy to explain it, as you said, in to a certain extent, you know, kind of through copy and through words. But actually, from a visual identity point of view, how challenging is it to bring it to life from a visual point of view in a way that also makes it distinct within the marketplace? Was that a challenge when you were going through the rebrand?
No, I don't think so. We like to focus not on the tech, because that's what other companies do. We like to focus on the tech as an empowering force for sales and business people. So it makes them superstars. Somebody can, you know, be a unique individual on the street riding their skateboard to work, but when they walk into the office, they are a frickin' rock star at sales. And that's an emotional story. And, you know, our visual brand is behind that 100%, showing lots of illustrations of people, bold colors, great big fonts that look like, you know, we use this headline font on our website that looks like a bunch of people packed into a phone booth. It's gregarious and social. So
I love it. Yeah. Big fan of that.
I think it's not been that big a challenge to do that. I think it's the biggest challenge is looking different.
Yeah. And in terms of kind of, I guess, experimentation and boundary pushing within kind of your marketing team's remit on a day-to-day basis, I speak to marketing leaders and individuals within marketing teams who find that a bit of a struggle, to be honest, in terms of how they can flex their brand, how they can kind of take it into new places without either being seen as a bit of a maverick or kind of, you know, not taking people on the journey, or even just having the kind of the having the permission, if you like, to go ahead and do that. What's the kind of attitude like at Gong towards, on a day-to-day basis, your kind of marketing teams being bold and being expressive and doing things differently, you know, with the brand as part of that, without kind of going too far, I guess?
I think, you know, the executive team expects us to do our work and bring in both leads to the website and build awareness for Gong as a brand, as a global brand. And that's, you know, at least two efforts right there. Both of them shouldn't be boring. They should be compelling and memorable. So humor, storytelling is always important for, you know, efforts that need to drive traffic to a site or to a landing page. Those have to be smart and really compelling. And then awareness can, you know, you can be more bold and take chances with awareness plays like the Super Bowl spot. But I think you need to do both. And maybe that's one of the takeaways here for tech companies is really how is your company different from the set of competitors out there? What do you stand for? What's that simple emotional element that you stand for and that pain point you try to solve for? Well, that's an emotional story that you can tell with awareness efforts, advertising. And of course, if you want to sell the benefits and features of the platform and get people to log onto your site and look at case studies, that's an entirely different play.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that balance, isn't it? You know, you've got a great product, you've got a product that is unique in the marketplace. If you've got a brand to match that and a set of permissions within the marketing and brand teams that enable that story to be told, it's almost like the perfect blend, isn't it, really? And I guess I still don't see enough of that in the market of people striving for both. I think sometimes there's that feeling that you've got a great product, you know, the brand doesn't necessarily matter because the product is almost going to sell itself. And in other cases, you see strong brands, but the product doesn't quite match up to that. The product's maybe a little bit inferior to others on the marketplace, so they're looking for kind of the brand story to make up some of that shortfall. But it certainly looks like you guys at Gong have got both, which must be a great position to be in.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel like we have great leadership.
Yeah, and that makes all the difference.
I think, you know, when you do a rebrand, it's, you know, again, tech companies tend to want to copy each other and look similar because that's, you know, how tech is supposed to look or act or speak. And I think it's important to stand out and not do that. When you do a rebrand, you need to try to, you can't just dive into a visual exploration. You need to try to understand who you are, what makes you different at the very core. Why did the founders come up with this product? What were they trying to solve? And look at the core values that founded and drives the company every day. And out of that, you can explore and come up with a really genuine, believable brand identity and narrative, style of writing, voice. I think these are all really important things that tech companies, they don't dive in deep enough into the research and exploring of values and why they founded the company to begin with. They just do visual explorations based on superficial criteria.
And just a point on that. So do you? So obviously, the Gong rebrand wasn't your first rebrand. Do you have a kind of a set process that you like to follow and you advise your teams to follow, or do you kind of, with obviously what you just said in mind, or do you kind of treat each case as a slightly unique one and act accordingly?
Both. I think everything is, every case is different, but you know, I get calls all the time. You know, how do you rebrand? I'm about to rebrand. I did an interview with a guy from DuckDuckGo just a week ago. And he wanted to know what the criteria are. And he also asked me about the Super Bowl. But, you know, how do you run a rebrand? Well, you've got to understand what your values are from the beginning and really dive into, you know, invite all the founders and the executive team in and run through a bunch of creative exercises showing them, you know, if the brand were a rock star, who would it be? If the brand were a car, who would it be? Who would it not be? And really digging into what are those 8 or 10 values that if you were a person, you would use to describe yourself. So thinking of the brand as a personality, developing and naming that personality. At Optimizely, we came up with this fictitious character called Ollie. Had, you know, 8 or 10 traits that we felt were really strong and defined us. And from that, a creative team can better understand how to explore, you know, whether to be serious and conservative or bold and joking and emotional and funny, and, you know, what is the compromise in there? And then they can go off in a really powerful, effective direction to develop more genuine identity and more genuine messaging. So I say do your homework.
Yeah.
Do the work.
You need those foundations. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And then don't democratize the process.
Yeah, no, for sure. Know,
choose a core team to make the decisions and you'll end up in a lot better space.
Despite its success, is there anything from the Gong rebrand that you would have done differently at all?
Good question. One of the things we saw early on was this brilliant identity direction that our agency showed us. I worked with Jim Bull of Moving Brands, by the way, on this.
Yeah, did Moving Brands do Optimizely as well? Is that right?
Yeah, he's great. I love working with him. He's super talented and easy to work with. He's just a great guy. And his first round, he showed us this work that was brilliant. Well, you know, all the designers jumped on it. And he was like, this is great. We got to do this. We can see how the pieces can be deconstructed and recreated in other kind of formats and uses. And it really gives us an alphabet in which to tell our visual story. But it wasn't right for us. It wasn't right for the brand. It felt too contrived and formulaic. So while they saw it as just total perfection, pixel perfect perfection, everything was tight on a grid and it just got all the designers excited. It wasn't the personality for us. And we ended up in almost a retro 70s kind of, you know, purple, great big type kind of identity and personality that it's just so much more appropriate for who we are now. So it's not really something that went wrong. I think we dodged that. It could have been a great identity direction for us, but not as on point and genuine, I think, for our personality is where we net it out.
But I think that's a really, really important point, isn't it? Which is, you can't allow yourself to be blindsided or to be kind of, you know, dazzled by something that might look amazing, but actually deep down in your gut, you know that it's not quite the right fit. And, you know, as an experienced creative, you probably have those gut feelings automatically, but others may not. So again, that comes back to almost that piece about democratizing it. You know, I think you're right. You know, you have to pick the right people who are going to kind of align themselves with your thinking on that, rather than kind of maybe push back because they might have been dazzled, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, and showing too many people and taking too many opinions kind of waters down to plain vanilla, because people they feel comfortable with what they've seen before. Unfortunately, that's just the fact. And so if you show too many people, you know, we're doing a bunch of internal logos right now at the company, and immediately they've got to go show the entire department and take votes. And I'm like, eh, you don't necessarily want to do that if you want the best work.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Lee, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking with you. As I said, I'm a huge fan of what you've done with the Gong brand and actually with Optimizely as well. Although I believe, I'm not totally sure about this, but I believe since they've been acquired, they've run roughshod over your lovely brand. I just wanted to end with a question that we always end with on the Changemakers, which is, and you might have answered this throughout, but I wondered if there's a particular project or campaign or anything from your career, it may be agency side, might be client side, that you're kind of more proud of than any other.
You know, I'm really proud of the rebranding efforts.
I thought you might say that.
They're both creative and political, and I did mention that. And also, this Super Bowl spot was one of the more exciting projects I've ever worked on as well. And certainly a lot of politics and tough decision-making went into that. But I think, you know, both netted out in a fun way, and I'm proud of the work and the results. So
nice.
Yeah, I think we've covered those pretty well.
And what's you mentioned some internal logo work. Is there anything else you can tell us about what's next for the Gong brand?
What is next? You know, we've always avoided using photography because, again, that's, you know, stock photography is an easy way to solve something visually, and companies lean on it too much. Sometimes tech will make it a blue or a monochromatic, you know, photo, for example, to try to make it their own. But photography is really tough to use, and I want to figure out a way to get our own ownable style of photography by really owning a great photographer here in San Francisco and just using them to shoot everything. I think that's on the horizon. Also, a lot of fun video storytelling, both for ourselves as a brand selling our platform, but also, you know, showcasing groups of customers and showing how they benefit from the Gong platform and how much they love using it. I think those are fun stories to tell. I think those are on the horizon.
Brilliant, yeah. Looking forward to seeing that. It's a tough challenge, I guess.
And getting back into actual in-person conferences,
oh, yes.
Trade shows, that stuff is fun. And we've all been, you know, confined to our houses because of COVID, but yeah, it's starting to open up too.
Yeah. Long may it continue. Great stuff. All right, Lee, I've taken up quite enough of your time. I'll let you go, but thank you so much for joining me on The Changemakers. Really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Dave. I enjoyed it.